You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
This is Homegrown Girls Premier Podcast. I'm Renice. I make up one half of the Homegrown Girls Podcast. A little bit more about myself and how this podcast came to be is that me and my co-host, we really enjoy the natural or organic aspect of life. We're trying to eliminate a lot of toxins and chemicals out of our day-to-day, I don't know, like our home and health products. And we find ourselves talking about that a lot when we're together. So we decided, you know, maybe we'd share the information that we glean with our audience. And my co-host is Stephanie.
And my name is Stephanie Lopez-Gilmore. I am the co-host for this podcast, Homegrown Girls. And as Renice said, some of the amazing topics that you can expect to hear about is living more of a natural lifestyle, from your hair care products to, you know, your face and body products, along with a lot of health and wellness. We will be covering topics such as nutrition, a lot of healthcare practices, also along with physical fitness, and really focusing in on doing a more natural way of life. I hope you enjoy the show. And today's topic, we are going to talk about living a toxic-free lifestyle. And some of the things that we wanted to discuss is that the cleansing and bath products that we have in our home might not be as clean as we think they are. Many of them have toxic chemicals that can be very damaging to our health and our home. And today's guest, Ellen, will be talking about the benefits of going natural, what to look for in our home and body products. So please welcome to the show, Ellen, founder of Pink Elephant Products. She is homegrown right here in the D, which is our hometown. And I'd like to ask Helen to say hello.
Hi there.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well.
Awesome.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here today. And so I want to know, what sparked your interest to start your own natural bath and body product line?
A couple different things. Going through pregnancy and having children got me really concerned about the products that I use in the home every day, from cosmetics to cleaning products to personal care products on both myself and my children, everything from toothpaste to mouthwash, baby powders. And I became more and more concerned about the potential of ingredients in the products we use every day to cause disease. So I began thinking about things like the Teflon in our nonstick pans, air fresheners, talc-based baby powders, the flame retardants in children's pajamas and in our furniture, off-gassing into our homes. And then, unfortunately, cancer had hit our family pretty hard. And I became even more specifically focused on carcinogens. Carcinogens are not the only thing. Carcinogens being ingredients that or things that have the potential to cause cancer. There's also concern about allergens in personal care and cleaning products. So those were some of the motivators that I had.
Okay. Well, I have a question.
Sure.
First question. I noticed just about every product has some type of chemical that is to serve as a preservative.
Right.
But they're actually damaging, while they're preserving the product in its shelf life, they're damaging to the human body.
Right.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Like, what specific preservatives are really dangerous? What should people look for when they read a label?
Okay. There's a lot of concern about a class of chemical preservatives known as parabens. So when I talk about avoiding hormone-disrupting chemicals in products, that's specifically a class of ingredients that I'm thinking of. So parabens can penetrate the skin and act like a very weak estrogen in the body, which is where the term hormone or endocrine-disrupting chemical comes from. So this class of preservatives can potentially turn on the growth of hormone receptor-positive breast cancers. So that's the main concern with parabens. Of course, parabens are, in fact, very effective at what they do. They prohibit the growth of dangerous microbes in products that might spend a few weeks or even months on a shelf before they're purchased. So But unless a product's going to be used immediately, like something you're making for your own personal use or at home, if a product contains water, unfortunately, it does need to have an effective preservative. It's just not optional. So consumers now are looking for paraben-free products, but so now manufacturers have been replacing parabens with other preservative systems like, and this is a long name, and I still don't know quite how to pronounce this one, methylchlorothiazone, and you also have it's a tough one to pronounce, but generally it's a big long name and it starts with M and has multiple syllables. One of them is called, it's generally referred to as MCI or MI. While these chemicals are not hormone disrupting chemicals, they can be very irritating to the skin. And as a matter of fact, in 2013, MI was named the contact allergen of the year by the American Contact Dermatitis Society.
Wow.
It can be especially problematic for people with eczema, allergies, psoriasis, or sensitive skin. And you'll find both of these ingredients in Target's Method products and in Seventh Generation's products.
Wow. Amazing. Cause I know a lot of my, products that are at our home are some of the Method products. And I think a lot of my friends are going towards a lot of those because they want to live a more natural lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So being aware of not just taking what is on the front of the product label, but really looking at those ingredients.
Sure.
As I tell people that all the time when it comes to nutrition, but even looking at that on any of your other products, just don't take the face value of the advertisement.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
So then my next question is, what constitutes natural or organic?
Well, unfortunately, the word natural really has no well-defined regulated meaning. So seeing the word natural on a product's label or in advertising, unfortunately, doesn't really mean anything specific at all. As a matter of fact, Consumer Reports petitioned the Food and Drug Administration in 2014 to actually ban the use of the word natural on food labeling so that shoppers wouldn't be misled. And the company Seventh Generation, which is, of course, now owned by Unilever, settled a $4.5 million class action lawsuit over its use of the term 100% natural and all natural on its product labels when, in fact, some of the products contain synthetic ingredients. And those were settled in 2016.
And I just want to interject. And I know even though we're talking about home and health products, I believe I used to drink this particular juice all the time. I can't remember the name of it. I don't want to say the name of it, actually, for whatever purpose. But I think they had a class action lawsuit placed against them for the same reason. They were toting that they were not GMO when, in fact, they were.
Right. Mm. Well, I think more and more, because these larger multinational corporations want a piece of the big green pie, you're going to see these large companies, like, for example, Unilever owns Axe body spray and a whole slew of other decidedly unnatural products, but they're buying up the smaller companies, like, for example, Burt's Bees is owned by Clorox. We're going to see more and more of that. So the trust issue.
What an oxymoron.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
So the trust issue comes into play, because as the smaller companies, Annie's is owned by Campbell's. You know, they make the macaroni and cheese and the crackers and stuff like that. So I think we're going to see more and more of that. So this issue is going to become more and more important. Companies wanting to put that, you know, they want a piece of that pie. So they're going to put natural and organic and those sorts of those trigger words on
exactly.
labels.
Exactly. One of my favorite, I guess, more natural health bars, RX bars, was recently bought out by Kellogg's, a local company over here. And I had a huge, I think in the community that I'm in, the health and wellness community, there was a huge uproar because it was like, what is going to happen to this product?
Right.
Is the ingredients, these four simple ingredients, is this going to change because now we are bought out by a larger chain that is known for not necessarily going more of the natural route?
Right, right. Now, I know we've discussed the word natural, but the word organic is actually a little bit different because so natural and organic are often mistaken as meaning the same thing, but legally speaking, they're really different.
Okay.
Because to list organic on a product label, certification by the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Organic Program is mandatory if you're doing things properly and labeling your products properly. Then the name and address of the third party that certified the product has to be on the label. However, you'll often find handcrafters and smaller companies using the term sort of indiscriminately. And I think some of that confusion lies in people thinking that the word natural and organic actually mean the same thing when they actually don't. And the process for organic certification is actually very specific. So the term organic is definitely more well-defined than the term natural.
Can I interject also
sure.
on this one? Because I know even for the food industries, everyone talks about how expensive it is to go organic when you're going to your local grocery store. And I always try to explain that there's so many hoops that that these organic farmers have to go through in right. order to get that seal, that it ends up pretty much bankrupting a lot of them, especially if they are not making a mass production. So they have to kind of put some of that, the pricing that they have to get for that organic seal
exactly.
and pass it along to the consumer versus going to your local farmer's market. And we have quite a few of them here in our city, but going to local farmer's market and being able to buy directly from the consumer to the farmer, where you know that they don't have to necessarily go through all of those loopholes to be on the product shelves.
But you trust it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's you know that person, you have that relationship, and they might not be in your local grocery store, or they might not be at your local Target or a mass chain thing, but you do know that it's more of a natural thing because you trust the people, really.
Exactly.
Well,
you know, the producer.
That brings me to, like, isn't it almost contradictory that something is mass produced and organic? Not to say it can't be done, but then when I think organic and I think all natural, like we talked about preservatives, they're sitting on a shelf.
Right.
If it's organic, let's be real, it's going to go bad fairly quick. Because right. it's not going to have all the preservatives and whatever else that they put in things to make them last on the shelf for months at a time. So right. I almost, in my humble opinion, I almost believe like the only way to really buy organically is to buy from small business and local right. business.
Right.
Like, I don't think that's a term that companies, I'm glad that they have that verbiage and they have those hoops for them to jump through, because otherwise, companies would just use it for, like you said, they want that money. So they're going to just use it profusely anywhere.
Right.
But
right.
if you really think about the term, you can't really be organic if it's on the shelf sitting for this long.
Right. That you bring up a very good point. On the other hand, though, I think we need to understand that the nature of preservatives, because certain products, especially if they're not water-based, you're not going to need as strong of a preservative system as you do with a water-based product. But there's also concerns about if you have a product that, if the lid is being opened and reopened and maybe wet hands are reaching in the jar to put the product on the face, you do have that. It's a small risk, but there's a risk nonetheless. Or product, like, for example, mascara is going in the eye area. It's a risk nonetheless. So in my personal opinion, the only way to completely avoid preservatives is to make your products yourself. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is able to do that. Not everybody wants to do that. And there's also a lot of misconception about, I've heard people say that, well, my product has coconut oil in it, so it doesn't need a preservative. Or my product has vitamin E, and that's all it needs. And unfortunately, you know, ingredients that are antifungal aren't necessarily antiviral, aren't necessarily anti-mold. So there's unfortunately a lot of misinformation out there about preservatives and exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm. And everything has an expiration date. Everything
exactly.
goes bad at some point in time. And the only
right.
thing that I've read that supposedly will never go bad or doesn't really go bad is honey.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
So I want to touch on another topic. And this is your opinion. And based on your knowledge, and I know you from elsewhere, so I consider you fairly knowledgeable in this field. What, in your opinion, is the most dangerous chemical being added to household cleaning products or to personal hygiene products? And I ask that because I want to, like, almost create a buzzword for consumers.
Right.
Like, what do you look for?
Right. Unfortunately, that's a really tough question because many of the most dangerous ingredients in products turn out to be ones that we didn't know were in the product in the first place and actually don't even show up on the label.
Mm.
So, for example, Johnson's is currently settling multi-million-dollar lawsuits over concerns about asbestos in talc powder.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Now, you're not going to find asbestos on baby powder labels. Asbestos has also been, actually, it's been banned. So it's you're not going to see that on a label. Asbestos has also been found in children's cosmetics from both Claire's and Justice.
Oh,
geez.
So when
that's
you're
horrible.
When you're looking at a label, it's not just ingredients that you need to be looking for. It's where are we getting products from? And unfortunately, you know, when we're buying products from places like the dollar store or Claire's or Justice or whatever, and we're looking at where these products are made and what type of environmental regulations and chemical regulations are in place. It can get scary.
So would you say instead of looking for a particular ingredient, more so you should look for the manufacturer or the source of the product?
Well, I think both are important, but that's a very good point. We also need to consider where our products are coming from, and as far as a type of product that's one of the most dangerous products out there, I think hair dyes and chemical hair straighteners, formaldehyde, coal tar. There's a whole slew of chemicals in these products that are they're just not safe. Some products.
Thank you. That's what I was really getting at. Like, I know there's some products that you're probably like, I just don't use
like,
that.
I don't mess with it.
Yeah, I don't mess with that, and I wouldn't suggest you mess with it either.
And it's probably unfair to say across the board these products are always unsafe because, for example, you do have henna hair colors, which are far safer products than your typical L'Oreal in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess those two classes of chemicals, hair dyes, hair straighteners, another class of chemicals that or product that typically has questionable ingredients is all of the feminine hygiene products, all of your sprays and your wipes. The nonoxynol 9, which is a spermicide that can be present in the wipes and the sprays. The fragrance, which can disturb the pH balance of a delicate area. So all of those are, and not to mention, they're just unnecessary.
Yeah, they are. And we're all women. And we hope to gather a mostly women audience. And I'm sure everybody's been to the GYN. And they tell you, you shouldn't use that stuff.
Douche. That's another
douche,
one.
You shouldn't use any of it. The
messes the
human
pH
body
balance.
Or specifically the vagina is almost like a self-cleaning oven, I like to say. And if you take care of it, it will take care of itself.
Right.
Exactly. So. And you touched a little bit on the fragrances and some of the feminine hygiene products. But I've also noticed that there's a huge a lot more people are becoming very sensitive to fragrance. And I read an article, which was a little bit disturbing to me, but in a health and wellness blog recently, that more of these boutique studios are going to create their own fragrances and actually like spray it into the air.
Yes.
Because a lot of these people that attend the studios, they don't like the smell of like the locker room.
Right.
So they want something that smells a little bit fresher. But I also know this can aggravate a lot of people's allergies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Can you touch base a little bit about some of the harmful effects of places like this or even like the casinos has been told that they've actually will spray something into the air so it keeps people spending more and more money.
Yes. So that's an interesting thing that you touched upon. There are companies that actually make fragrance, synthetic fragrance that can be pumped through the ventilation systems in public buildings, casinos, office buildings in the city. For people with any type of skin problem, I think the top two ingredients I suggest avoiding are synthetic fragrance and also MI, the MCI, the ingredient, the methylchlorazoxyne that we talked about. The category fragrance, even natural fragrance, is sort of a catch-all phrase because the FDA doesn't require companies to reveal the ingredients that make up fragrance. The ingredients don't have to go on the label because they're considered proprietary information or trade secrets.
Wow.
We don't use any type of, I don't use natural fragrance either. So you won't see like watermelon natural fragrance or cucumber natural fragrance or whatever on our product labels because we practice complete ingredient disclosure. And if you're using a catch-all phrase like that, you're not practicing complete ingredient disclosure. So you have people with multiple chemical sensitivity. You have people with asthma. You have people that just get migraines from fragrance. Matter of fact, I don't know if they still do, but I believe the 36th District Court still has a fragrance ban in place because there was a lawsuit a while back from a woman that had fragrance sensitivity. You had a lawsuit from, can't remember, it was 99.5 or the radio station. There was a lawsuit there from a woman that had some sensitivity to fragrance. So it's a real issue. It's recognized it's legally recognized. So it's a thing. And people do have sensitivities to it.
My last job, I was there for almost 11 years. It was a health insurance company. They had posted throughout the buildings warnings about fragrance, and you could be subject to disciplinary action or even termination if you were found to wear. We were explicitly told you cannot wear any fragrance, anything that contains fragrance, even down to the hair products, your hairspray or whatever it is you use in your hair to make it stay. It can't smell
because you don't know who
because
might have an
we
allergy.
Don't, and they never would reveal who it was, and they don't have to.
Exactly.
But whoever it was a life or death situation, obviously, where if they smelt this fragrance, they would go in, I believe it was almost like seizure provoking.
Right. It's interesting that you bring that up because there was a situation a few years back. There's a movie called Stink. It's called Stink the Movie, and it was made up. It's an interesting title. But basically, the whole movie started up because there was a man that he lost his wife to breast cancer when his children were very young. And he bought a pair of pajamas for his children from Justice. And when he opened them up, the smell was just overpowering.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so there's a section in that movie specifically about Axe body spray. There was a young man who did what they call challenge testing with his allergist, trying to specifically pinpoint what it was that he was smelling at school that was causing him to go into anaphylactic shock.
Oh, my.
Turns out it was specifically Axe body spray.
Anaphylactic shock?
Yes.
Now, what is that?
Anaphylactic shock is basically when you hear about people with peanut allergies things like that that are where the airway is starting to close up. It's a very specific.
My.
I'm not a doctor, but that's my understanding of what anaphylactic shock is.
Mm-hmm.
So this was somebody that had gone to the emergency room multiple times, and the ban was put in place, and the school told the students, nobody can wear Axe body spray. He was homeschooled for a while. So his family sent him back to school, and lo and behold, the Axe body spray, somebody's using it. So he's back in the emergency room. And the company refused to tell the mother and the doctor what ingredients were in this fragrance so that they could figure out what specifically is causing my son's reaction.
Because it's a proprietary blend.
Because it's proprietary.
And you see, now stuff like that makes me very weary. Because I've heard of people, and it's urban myth, but they say companies use the same thing they use for roach spray or as some type of a pesticide. The same chemical that they're using in that, they're also putting in this fragrance or this laundry detergent or whatever else to make it smell. It's like used as a base for the fragrance. So you're using something that which is used to kill something else to fragrance another product.
Right. I think my main concern is obviously with the disease and allergens and whatnot, but to me it's just a question of honesty that I need to know, especially you're with the prevalence of allergies in our society. You need to know what's in the product. If the skin is the largest organ in the body, when it comes to food, you can't have secret ingredients in food.
Yes.
I'm not really sure why we're allowing secret ingredients in fragrance.
Well, you're right. Why would this be a secret, especially when, like you said, with the rise of allergies and that sounds pretty dangerous. If his air paths were closing or swelling,
right,
then you can't breathe,
right.
And it just, I don't know. It almost makes me wonder, like, is there some type of, this brings me to my next question. Is there some type of testing you can do on a product? A person can do themselves? Like, is there a lab or is there somewhere they can take a product to be like, I just want to know what all this contains?
There is, but unfortunately, it's very expensive. Like, for example, in the Stink movie, the man that directed the movie and acted in the movie had the resources to have these pajamas tested to find out specifically what it was that was causing the stench, and found out that it was a flame retardant that had been banned years ago. That was on these pajamas. It is possible to do such things. Unfortunately, most of us don't have the resources to take a product and figure out. There's chemical testing laboratories right in our area, in the Metro Detroit area. But again, for most folks, it's going to be out of their reach.
So then my question is there a company that is doing these product testings for the consumer and at least putting it out there on the internet that says, here is the product, we've tested it, it shows that it has X amount of it, and if so, what is the name of that company so that our people who are our listening audience can actually go there and do their own research?
So some websites that I would recommend or organizations I can recommend that have good information about what's in our products. Now, I should preface this by saying that, unfortunately, ingredients are changing all the time, formulations are changing all the time, and what's considered dangerous and what isn't also can change over time as we get new information about products. So rather than, we do need to talk about specific ingredients, but we also need to talk about resources to keep on checking, you know, what's on the labels, what's considered dangerous, what's banned in Europe, what's permitted in the United States. So I would suggest safecosmetics.org. They have a a really useful list of chemicals of concern and what types of products you will find them in. I can also suggest Women's Voices for the Earth, another good resource for
Is that an org or a com?
Women's Voices for the Earth, I can't remember, but if you Google Women's Voices for the Earth, you'll find them. And they're dealing with not just toxins in our personal care products, but also the things we use every day, like I had mentioned, flame retardants in our furniture, in infant mattresses, the Teflon, the nonstick coatings that are on pans, the things like that, nail polish, just kind of a wraparound sort of information mm-hmm. about toxins and what we're exposed to.
Okay. Wow. And I wanted to touch on earlier when you were saying that the really only surefire way to make sure you're not ingesting, and by ingesting, people, I'm not just referring to eating. Ingesting exactly. means whatever you put on your skin, whatever you insert into your body.
Right.
Is to make it yourself. And I understand everybody doesn't have that type of time, but for instance, Stephanie makes her own deodorant. I make my own laundry soap, and I use the word soap because to refer to its mildness, and detergent implies chemicals in my head, and you have an entire line of products. So is there anything, if someone wanted to start, what products, what would be like the easiest go-to or the most common product or the most easiest made product that you could say, I think you could start here?
Deodorant is probably one of the more simple products to mm-hmm. make because the ingredients for deodorant are easily accessible and it's not a water-based product. So you know, especially if you're using it at home, you're not putting it on a shelf. You're probably not going to have to worry about preservatives.
And please, while you're talking about deodorant, please speak on deodorant.
There's a couple different, there's more than a couple actually, but the main things to be concerned about in deodorant are the aluminum compounds that temporarily plug the sweat ducts to reduce, that's where the term antiperspirant comes in. Mm-hmm. So most of your, like the deodorant that Stephanie makes, the deodorant I make, the deodorants you're going to be getting from a farmer's market, they're not going to have antiperspirants in them. And that's where those aluminum compounds are coming from. It's been associated with Alzheimer's disease. Mm. And then you have most of your deodorants from the grocery store, whatnot, have synthetic fragrance in them. So those are generally the two main ingredients in deodorant that are questionable are aluminum and the fragrance compounds. And again, I'm not a doctor. This is just my own research. I don't claim to be a doctor. But a lot of breast cancer is found in the upper quadrant of the breast. So some people have concerns that the deodorant and the ingredients in deodorant and plugging the sweat ducts are contributing to that. The American Cancer Society says all of that's bunk. There's no connection whatsoever. Mm. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not a doctor. You can go look up the information yourself. But
Ellen, you don't have to be a doctor. I respect you. You have a wealth of knowledge. People always say I'm not a doctor, but you've done your research,
right?
And you care. You're passionate enough about the subject matter,
exactly. Right.
Where right. I respect your opinion. I think the listening audience will glean enough information that they find helpful.
Thank
from
you.
This.
And that's one reason why I started creating my own deodorant. When my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the lymph nodes, the only products that in my shelf or in my cosmetic area that were not natural was deodorant and toothpaste. And after dealing with all of the 2 years of him struggling with cancer and passing away, I decided that I wanted to try the natural deodorants, but most of the ones that I saw on the shelves that you would find at your local stores, they just weren't holding up for the amount of exercise that I do. So I created my own. And I'm perfectly fine. I tell people all the time, your body is meant to sweat. So the
right.
antiperspirant
exactly.
stuff, that is actually preventing your body from doing its natural thing of detoxifying. I just wanted something that after, you know, a long day of me working out or training my clients, that I'm not reeking
right.
At the end of the day. So that's what I went to create my own and something that would be able to withstand like the heat and everything else when I'm doing my outdoor hikes and everything. So that's my main reason why I went with the more natural. But I always tell people all the time, your body is meant to sweat. So you're preventing it from doing its natural thing to cool itself off and to get all of those toxins out of your system. What are some other products that are really easy to make at home, even if it's like cleansing products? I know a lot of, I spoke to someone earlier today and she was mentioning that she uses Method, but some of the cleaning products, she just has a hard time still getting something sparkly clean. And so she'll still go towards that bleach or the harsher chemicals. And she's like, it's just not getting like my toilet bowls clean enough, or it's just not getting my countertops clean enough. Or I feel like my, same thing with laundry. Like I'm just not getting that whiteness. I keep arguing with my husband about, hey, stop using the bleach that's in this house. Like, first of all, it shouldn't be here, but I understand that somehow it got into our household. Stop using it on our whites. We have natural laundry soap from my co-host Renice. But how do you, what is something that you can add to your products, or what is something that you can make on your own that's a natural way of it, of getting that household items a little bit nice right. and sparkly clean?
I think a key concept to remember is we could probably all do better to just to simplify. Most of us are just using too many products. So we could simplify. That's going to reduce the toxic load in our homes. Oxygen bleach, which is a non-chlorine sodium percarbonate, basically, can be added to a homemade laundry product to boost the cleaning ability, and it's also color safe. So basically, the oxygen, the combination of the water in the product, that's what's going to get things clean. So you can use that as an alternative to chlorine bleach. It's fairly inexpensive. Another alternative is you can get like, you have those, you know, those Dr. Bronner's soaps in the big bottle. You can use kind of a concentrated soap base to make, your all purpose cleaner and your bathroom cleaner or whatnot. I will say this, unfortunately, when you're dealing with things like soap scum, when you're dealing with things like rust stains, sometimes, you know, you need a particular type of cleaner for a particular job. I'm not a huge fan of the water and vinegar cleans everything. I don't think it does. You know, from a chemical standpoint, there's certain types of stains that you're not going to be able to fix with vinegar and water. And that's a common complaint that I hear is that, gee, natural cleaning products would be great, but a lot of them don't work. And honestly, that's a very valid concern. So we need to just do a little bit more homework to figure out, here's the specific kind of stain I'm dealing with. What can I use as an alternative to a harsher product on the market to get rid of that stain?
Yeah. I wanted to touch on what you just said. Like, a lot of people say the natural products just don't get as clean. But it's almost like a vicious cycle, too. Like, the soaps we use create those soap scums because of the harsh detergents and chemicals that are in them. That's why they leave behind that residue. So then you have to talk to people about possibly changing the soap they use. You know, that's a harder discussion to have with people than you think. Getting people to change their soap or tell them that, hey, your soap is really harsh and it's probably the reason why your skin is so dry, which is why you have to use this lotion and this. How about you just change this, this, and this, and that could probably remedy this, this, and this.
Right.
And they don't want to have those discussions. People are creatures of habit. I mean, they want what they want.
Right.
It's almost like I noticed with my detergent with my laundry soap, I had to almost educate people also. I had one friend tell me, well, I didn't see any suds when I used it. Well, suds in laundry soap or laundry detergent, that's a sudsing agent. Doesn't necessarily mean your clothes are clean. It's just something that makes the water soap up. Big companies know this. Mm-hmm. That's why they add it to the laundry detergent.
Or like even with your hair care products, like they have the natural shampoo or the no poo shampoo. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people saying, well, I'm so used to having that sudsy feeling when I watch. That's how I know my hair is clean. So I will continue to add more product until I get that sudsy feeling. And I think that's that, like you said, that misconception that we have.
I talked to a gentleman that owns a laundromat, and he even told me, those sudsing agents, they're basically the same things that everybody's blown bubbles before as a kid, right? Mm-hmm. That stuff. Oh. That's what the sudsing agents and a lot of detergents are. You wouldn't wash with that. You wouldn't consider yourself clean if you washed up with bubbles. It looks pretty. It makes bubbles. Yeah. That's it. So that's why I said I consider you very knowledgeable. It's almost like an education. You have to give people first and then get them to change their attitudes toward
exactly
a lot of the products.
You've touched base, Anise, a little bit about the misconception. I think the other misconception I hear all the time is that it's so expensive to go natural or organic, and not realizing that a lot of these things you can make on your own, or you can get it from a local store like yourself, right in the city of Detroit. You can support your local small businesses where it's not going to be as expensive as something at the mass retailer sites. Same thing, like I was talking about food in the local farmer market. You could still go organic without having to necessarily pay the high prices that you would see on your normal grocery store shelves, because they have to go through all those extra steps in order to get that quote unquote label of organic.
Well, Ellen touched on a point earlier when she talked about how it's Johnson & Johnson, correct? Mm-hmm. They have the lawsuit against them for the talc powder. Mm-hmm. Well, the most effective form of talc powder, because talc powder is nothing but scented. That's what it, why it becomes the talc powder. They like the scent.
Mm-hmm.
Cornstarch. That is the most basic
form
of arrowroot, talc or arrowroot powder.
Right.
And it will give you the scent. It won't have a scent to it, but that's how I don't want to say brainwashed, but how people have become programmed into thinking if it doesn't smell good, I'm not clean. When cornstarch would probably even give you more effective results than talc powder.
And you can use essential oils if you don't have any issues with the essential oils. And a lot of them will have other properties. I mean, so there's other ways that you can still get that fragrance if you feel like you need to have that fragrance. And I love my essential oils without necessarily going through the fragrance oils or the quote unquote natural fragrance oils, which you like touched on earlier. You don't really know what those items are because it's a proprietary blend.
Right. It's something that the sense of smell is extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It has the ability to evoke memories from many years ago.
Exactly.
And recreate experiences in our brains. So we may associate, you know, clean laundry with the smell of Tide or fabric softener, or it's something we've been smelling since we were little children, you know, the smell of Pine Sol, the smell of Simple mm-hmm. Green, all of these things that we associate. Maybe we associate that in our head with when Mom would clean the house on every Saturday morning. Mom got up at 8 and she spent all this time. And when you smell that, you remember that, you know. Mm-hmm. So those things are, I don't want to discount that. Those are very powerful. But also, you know, like the saying goes, when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we need to remember, too, that like essential oils can be used to scent a product, but we're not going to get the strength of scent like you usually
exactly.
do with, you know, if I make my soap with an essential lavender essential oil, it's not the same thing as lavender from Bath and Body Works. And
it's not an overpowering scent. And
right.
I think that's what I like about it, is that once you go natural, you start to, when you start smelling products, like you talked about Bath and Body Works. When I started going more natural, I remember going someplace at a friend's house and they had the Bath and Body Works soap. And I, you know, just used it. And as I was driving home, I was like, oh my gosh, what is that?
Right.
And I kept trying to figure out, I'm like, what is that really strong, like, lavender smell? And it was almost making me a little bit nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized as I was driving, it was my hands. The first thing I wanted to do was go home and quickly rinse and wash my hands, because it just was too...
It's got staying power.
Yeah, it's just too strong. And I think a lot of people, like, that's what Gain is always talks about, like, oh, it lasts 3 days long or whatever the commercial is about the staying power of the scent.
I think but the commercials are funny, too.
Yeah, the commercials are funny. But at the same time, it's like, it's not a good scent. I mean,
right.
it's not good that it lasts that long. Like, what is it that is in that product that is making
that's
it
giving
last?
Giving it that staying power.
Exactly.
Yeah, like a week long. Like, I shouldn't smell my Gain, you know, t-shirt and be like, still smells like Gain 3 weeks later.
Right.
Right.
After you sweated in it and everything else.
Exactly. Like, oh, it still smell fresh. Like, no.
I have to, even though it isn't a personal care or a cleaning product, I think I need to bring up candles. Because if synthetic fragrance is unhealthy for us to put on our skin, I think setting it on fire is probably not a good idea either. So, yeah, scented candles, I think, are probably something else that really needs to go.
I agree with you on that.
I agree with you, too.
And especially if you have a paraffin candle, so you're setting a petroleum-based product on fire that also contains synthetic fragrance, and then it's wafting through the air.
Oh.
Again, it's not a cleaning product. It's not a personal care product, but it's something that
it's a home product.
It's a home product.
Yeah.
And
we need to be careful where we're getting our candles.
Like I said, our audience is a lot of them are females, and we all like to smell the ambiance of a candle.
Candles create. Yeah.
And I mean, I just love the way it looks when I'm lighting my candle in the morning for my meditation. It's a nice calming effect. But at the same time, is it causing any kind of health problems on the long time? As I'm zinning out, am I actually harming my body in the process of me going into that zenful state? Well, that's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about your products and what are some of your biggest top sellers?
Sure. So we do a complete line of cleaning and houseware products, personal care and cosmetics. I think one of our best sellers is the deodorant because that's kind of a, I guess you could call it a gateway product for most people, because even if folks are not using a whole slew of natural products, the deodorant is something that they're concerned about. They know about the aluminum issue. So that's something that people often, that's one of the first things people buy from us. Another thing people like is bar soap. I was a little leery of doing bar soaps because I kind of thought that the market was saturated. It seems like everybody's making bar soaps. I thought people were more into shower gels than bar soaps. Oh, turns out I was wrong. It's one of our best sellers. Mm-hmm. And we do things like, you know, all-purpose cleaner. We have a whiteboard cleaner. We have a stainless steel cleaner. We have, and again, I our products are made for people that don't necessarily want to make all of their own products. But we do have, like, for example, we have essential oils that are specifically, they have recipes on the bottle for making your own products. We have spray bottles with the juicer type thing on the top, so you can basically juice a lemon into your, you know, water vinegar
nice
concoction that you've made for your cleaning products. So we have some products for folks that like to make their own stuff, and we also have products for people that want to have a more non-toxic product line but don't necessarily want to make all their own products.
And Ellen, where can they find your products, and where can they follow you, like on social media?
Sure. So we're at www.pinkelephantproducts.com, and you can find all of our products online. We make our products at the Green Garage in Midtown. So you can either have your product shipped to you, or you can make an appointment to come by our store and browse our whole line.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you very
You're
much
welcome.
For coming on to our show.
So what we're in the future, we will have maybe a fun fact or just a little known fact that we'd like to share. And so with the topic of today being home and personal health care or personal products, I found this fun fact on Google. It takes 26 seconds is all it takes for the chemicals in your personal care products to enter your bloodstream.
Ooh, that's a little scary. That's a little scary. Actually, so that's really scary.
So you think about how many times you put a lotion on and it's got some crazy, like as Ellen said, some chemicals that you can't pronounce, something you've never heard of, and it only took less than 30 seconds to get in your bloodstream. And if you, God forbid, if you suffer from some type of immunity problem or immunity issue, or where you have you get sick easily, or you have I have a friend who has a blood disease that can cause you a lot of harm with that little amount of time. So that's just something to leave you with.
And then, Ellen, if anyone has any more questions in regards to a lot of the topics that we discussed today and they want to get in contact with you, what's the best way to get in contact with you? Through your website or?
You can send messages through the website. I have a system there where you can directly message me through the website. You can also reach me at info@pinkelephantproducts.com, info@pinkelephantproducts.com via email.
Awesome. And then you can follow us on Twitter at Homegrown Girls.
Homegrown Girls 313 is our Twitter handle.
Yeah.
We will soon, a Facebook page will be coming in the near future, and maybe even an Instagram.
Yes. And if you have any other questions or there's any other topics that you like us to cover, please send us out a tweet and we will love to try to dive a little bit deeper into that topic.
Or you can even shoot us an email. I believe our email is homegrowngirls313@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we will reply, and we will, if we get enough interest in one particular topic, we'll do a podcast on that particular topic.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much again for showing up with us for our first episode. We are really
Glad
delighted
to
have you. Tons of great information. And I will try to get all the resources that you named from you so we can at least post it up onto our Twitter account so people can follow up with the Women's Voices for the Earth and a couple of the other resources that you mentioned. I think that would be really great so they can have go back and reference that.
Yep.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you again. And we look forward to having you guys tune into our next episode, which would be in a few weeks. So again, follow us to find out all of our, when our next episode will be out on our Twitter at homegrowngirls313. And make sure that you follow us so that you are up to date and you are able to know when we are going to be airing next. This is Stephanie Lopez-Gilmore and my co-host, Renice Taylor, signing off.
Peace out.
Bye.